Let me begin by asking this. So, Virginia, if you can picture 50, 60, or 70 years from now, you're in great shape, having lived in the Monadnock region, you're right. Benevolent, you're loved, you're full of excitement, and you look well. And you come here to speak with us about what's happened in this last
150
or 60 years. But you keep in shape, and that's good.
New Hampshire Luft.
What are your ideas or senses about where music composition will be going in the future?
It's a tough question. A lot of music that's composed today, and of course there are many, many varieties. There's Beyoncé, and my students at Keene State keep me in line about their music. Classical music, as we've known it, I think is on the tail end. It will never be totally gone, but if I look at, take a woman who was a mentor to me, Julia Child, I got to do some soundtracks for her. She stood for the great canon of French cooking, which is almost like a Bible, and yet she understood that fusion was coming, and she was able to temper her discipline and allow, and she, those later TV programs are wonderful examples of that. And look how she's so playful with Jacques Pepin. She's, oh, I don't know, do you really think we should do that? You know, and she's, and he's mushing and scrupping and rolling and stuff. And so you have to roll with the punches. You have to, you know, what is it, the Japanese proverb, the tree that bends doesn't break. Classical music is not gratifying to young people, yet we are not going to throw it away. We're going to reuse it. We're going to sample it. We're going to put it in with other kinds of music, and that's already happening. And programs are very healthy. And 50, 60 years from now, I think they'll be even healthier. Everything is. Everything we do. We don't exercise a lot. We don't only eat Chinese food. We do things that appeal to us in, you know, sort of moderation. And that was Julia Child's big thing, moderation, because she could really tip it back. We used to sort of wonder if she had a hollow leg. You know, what's the great adage that Duke Ellington, what is he said? If it sounds good, it is good. And Arthur Fiedler loved that motto. If something is good, it will hold the test of time that's already gone. Because we're too interested in playing tennis or doing interesting things. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Good answer.
Okay, this looks like it could be fun. Did any of Beach's music appear as back scores of old black and white romantic movies?
Not that I know of. Had a hemorrhage. She didn't like ragtime. She said as much to Marion McDowell. There's syncopation in Beethoven, for God's sake, or Bach. No, it's a nice idea. I have a brother in LA. I'll propose it to his colleagues. I guess the question would be, because it sounds sort of old-timey, romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, has that. Thank you.
We'll send it to Beyoncé, see what she does with it.
There you go. And finally, have you ever tried composing yourself? Either of you?
You go first.
You confessed when we were rehearsing that you had written some things.
Yes, that was when I was young and dumb.
And me, you know, with the guitar.
Inevitably, one does. And of course, you know, if you're a professional and you're playing all the time, you're decomposing. You're picking up stuff because so often you have a memory lapse or you've got jet lag, and so all of a sudden, you know, you should have gotten off at exit 14, and all of a sudden you're like stuck in the middle of a piece. I composed San Diego's Chamber of Commerce song. That's the only thing. And then I adapted it for the Gilmore Pond song. Gilmore Pond, we hop our cup down. And at the end of every meeting, it's usually about the water and the beavers and the dam and stuff, we sing our pond song. Like a bad camp.
Okay, in 50 or 60 years, we want to hear a reprise of that, please.
It's all meat. I'll feed you if we're all here in 50 years, and I hope we are.
Who's your favorite woman composer after Beach, and why?
I don't have a favorite. Everybody is asked.
Kapralova.
Kapralova?
Yeah, that's mine.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a Czech woman who died during the Holocaust.
Oh.
That's a snappy answer. I discovered her. We were in Israel, and a man came up to me with a big folio of scores. And he said, you know, something, will you please do something with this, with this? And so, you know, people hand you a lot of stuff in life, and I thought, oh. Then I got, and I looked at it, and I brought it home here, and sure enough, her music is outstanding. She died at 25. We'll be doing a lot of Holocaust music at the college. The whole school is, it's called a concentration. We'll have concerts, lectures, plays, Grundebar, the opera, many informal events, scholars coming, because it's our idea that young people need to focus on something other than their iPads. Something large.
Absolutely.
And I don't have one, I'm sorry. I'm working on it. Okay. Maybe there's one, a live one up there at McDowell. I get to play Living Women. And it's much more gratifying because when the music is done and the composer's dead, you can't say, did you really want that chord? Is that really what you want? And I remember calling Libby Larson, and I would put the phone on the piano, and I would say, is that really what you want? She said, no, that sounds awful. I said, well, you wrote it. Fix it. It's nice if you can have dialogue. So
we'll have to channel Beethoven on that one, I suppose, in that case. Can you please place the music of Amy Beach in context of her contemporary influences, and in particular, the piano compositions of Edward McDowell?
Well, they were good friends, as I said. Edward died on the young side. Marion dragged him up here because he was quite ill. She cured him with raw cow's milk, built that log cabin, and on Medal Day, all of you know, you can wander around and go to his log cabin where he wrote some darling pieces, you know, the famous To a Wild Rose, which is an iconic piece that every little child in America learns. I think to this day it comes up in every anthology. But Beach had a longer life. You know, it's a long life, 1867 to 1944. That's unheard of in those times. So she was obviously healthy. She liked to eat. She looked like a refrigerator in the photographs. Not correctly taken care of. And she was very philanthropic. She gave away money. I met a woman in London who gave me cufflinks and a brooch. It's called a parure, when in the olden days you wore the earrings and the brooch and the necklace and everything. And we established the Beach Archive. It lives at UNH Durham. Hundreds of letters, scores, monographs, autographs, big statue by Boschke Peff. If you have the luck to live a long life, you can really make impact with your life. Look at Picasso, Stravinsky, Einstein. If you're snuffed out, like George Gershwin, when you're in your 30s, your impact is okay, but you haven't really left behind a large body of work. She transcends McDowell in the sense that, and it really speaks to today, she's politically correct. She's writing Inuit, Eskimo, German, Irish. She covered the waterfront, and he was besotted with the sagas and Norse legends and things from, like, the Vikings, you know, because that ties into that whole German, God help us, Hitler sort of thing that's coming down, you know, eventually in the 40s. She didn't thrum to that at all. We, Eileen and I, noticed there's a lot of Wagner, Schubert. I like it when people say, you know, her music sounds like Brahms. I said, oh, really? I'm glad you think so, you know. That's not a bad thing, really. Mm-hmm. Sound like a great dead man. And it's just, they, as it's become politically incorrect to put down anything, we're living through a very interesting age. So now they're respected, and they're actually taken seriously.
Were there any individual singers who were favored by these composers?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Marcella Sembrich. Oh, if you go through all the Beach songs, and there are about 180 of them, no, she's very tied into poets of the day, just like Fanny Mendelssohn or all those composers. Liszt, they knew Goethe and Schiller. Beethoven used Heine poems. No, you always got your inspiration from the poet of the day, always. Mm-hmm. And that happens today here. Richard Wilbert was the great backbone of Candide. he got a McDowell Medal. I got to play some Candide music on that day. You know, in our country, jazz, popular music, ragtime, that's our classical music. We have the Boston Classical School, which happened. There were five men and Beach. It was called the Boston Classical School. And they were Greybeards, Chadwick Payne, you know, Loeffler, and they were connected to the Boston Symphony. They were very eminent. And before I die, I would love it if some of them would be performed by the Boston Symphony, but I don't think it's going to happen because anything that's homegrown doesn't seem to make the cut. I don't know why that is, but it's sort of changing. And the new conductor there actually has said that he likes America's classical music, so there's hope. Yeah, we run ourselves down. With anything from Europe, especially Germany, is going to be better in music. It's authenticated. It's a sickness we have. You know, we don't inferiority complex. Thank you, Judge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody have a last minute question? We have time for one more if you haven't submitted a question. Yes, please.
The questioner asked, I heard you humming during some of your pieces. Are you adding an obbligato?
No, that's me bad. You're not supposed to do that. Well, thank you for saying that. No, the great hummer of all time, of course, was Casals. He would grunt, and on the recordings, the engineers would go crazy. They would try to not put a mic anywhere near the cello, because he would... And the Ozawa recordings, if you listen to them, he sounds like he's got to go to the bathroom, and so it's really bad.
You know,
the engineers would like... Engineers are crazy. They travel with... bath mats from, you know, Bed and Bath, and I know because if you make any kind of noise, the mics, David knows that, they pick up anything. But yeah. I'm sorry I hummed. I hope it was in the right key.
You sounded quite nice. Thank you very much. Thank you again, Virginia Eskin and Eileen Ruby. This has just been terrific. You've been listening to the Monadnock Summer Lyceum on New Hampshire Public Radio. The Monadnock Summer Lyceum presents a weekly series of lectures held at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Peterborough, New Hampshire. For more information about the Lyceum, you can visit our website at www.monadnocklyceum.org. The program next Sunday will feature Dr. Karl Kaiser speaking on Refugees in Europe, Overture to a Global Crisis.